You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Morning. I'd like to add my welcome to those online as well. Yes, I'm Leslie. I'm married to Tony. We're part of the leadership. In fact, I think we've been part of the leadership for over 20 years. But you know, it always changes. God always changes. God always increases. He multiplies. And he's a God who's on the move. And I was just so thrilled to be here this morning because, you know, it's been about 20-odd years since I stood in a meeting like this for the very first time. And it was a culture shock. I'd been to a Church of England Anglican church in my youth. And I came to a church like this. It was in Cardiff, and it was hands in the air, speaking in tongues, praying, singing, happy. And it was like, oh my goodness, I'm not used to this. This isn't the church I'm expecting. But you know, there was a life, there was a vitality within those people. And I'm hoping if this is your first time here today or online, that you are sensing that vitality. It is from the Holy Spirit. And it's part of what God wants us to have to be strengthened, to get us through when we're moving, when we're changing, when we're doing ministry for him. The joy. And it changed my life. I went back to church a week later. The people who'd invited us were quite shocked. It's like, oh, you've turned up again. But that was the day I gave my life to Jesus, to Christ. In fact, Tony and I are spiritual twins. We became Christians at the very same time. And the songs that we've been singing this morning about Jesus dying on the cross, 20-odd years ago when I first heard them, I thought, yeah, I know this. And you know what I used to think? I knew it up here, but I never knew it in my heart. Until somebody one day said to me at that meeting, you know, Jesus loves you. God loves you. God let his son die on the cross so that you can be restored to a relationship with him. And those are the truths that we were singing in praise and worship this morning. And I just felt, yes, that is the truth. That is my foundation, that God loves me and he let Jesus die on the cross for me. But it wasn't just for me. It's for everybody. It's for the world. Amen. Amen. Just wanted to share that with you. So we're continuing our healthy lifestyle. And I've called this healthy positioning or healthy posture. We've looked at various things about what makes us healthy, staying healthy. And what God's put on my heart is Psalm 1. And the title is The Way of the Righteous and the End of the Ungodly. And I'm thinking, oh, quite challenging really, isn't it? How do I explain that? But there are such truths in here and such treasures that it's just like, do you know what? Hopefully you're going to get something out of it. So I'm going to read the whole psalm through first. You're lucky it's not Psalm 119 because this one's only got six verses, so you're okay. Going to do fine. And it starts off, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, dodgy stuff. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He and she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall not prosper. Shall prosper, there we go. It's this. whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If I'd have thought about that 30-odd years ago, do you know what? It wouldn't have bothered me. I wouldn't have cared. I was ungodly. And I knew it. It didn't bother me. if there was a God. There might have been, there might not have been. I used to think he was man-made. I used to think it was something that man had created to make them feel better. I didn't need it. I was independent. I was living my life, living the life I wanted to. I'd been to uni. I was going to have a wonderful career. Things did change. But, you know, God always changes things for the best. Sometimes you might not realize at the time, but always for the best. So God's original design with creation was for man and woman to experience prosperity, peace, and fulfillment. Wow. Just think if everybody in the world today could say that they experience peace, prosperity, and fulfillment. How different it would be. But that, unfortunately, was ruined when man decided, Adam and Eve, to do their own thing. They disobeyed. And basically, that's what caused the separation between us and God. And I hadn't even realized I'd been separated from God, because as far as I was concerned, he wasn't even there. So it didn't matter. But God wants us to be restored to that position of blessing and favor through repentance and faith in Jesus, to become godly and to have that right standing, that right relationship with him. So that's a bit of the background to the psalm. And we're just going to look now at sort of various at the verses one by one. So first of all, blessed. Wow. Blessed is the one. Some of the versions say joys. It speaks of happiness, blessedness, contentment, and fulfillment in the life of the man or woman who is right, who has right standing with God. Do you know, there was a point in time when I wasn't in the right standing with God? But once I was, it so changed my life. It's just like, in an instant, I made that decision and my relationship with God was restored. In Hebrew, the word is actually a plural, which means it's a multiplicity. Tony was just talking about multiplying. Blessedness. God multiplies his blessings on his people. So, verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. And I pondered on this. Some versions actually say does not follow the advice or the counsel of the wicked. Actually, what it means is that we will not necessarily be blessed if we follow the counsel, the advice of ungodly people. They might be our friends. It might be an online app that you've looked at. It might be something on a website. It might be a podcast. There are so many different places we can go to for advice. But it doesn't mean to say it's godly. And sometimes we don't even bother to think about, is that godly? Is that what God wants? Is that the truth? Will that ultimately mean that God will bless my decision? So we sometimes just carry on and we don't even think, is that godly or ungodly? We just agree with the decision. As Christians, we should be able to distinguish what's godly advice and what isn't. That's where it's all stuck together. Just bear with me. And that should be a priority. The Holy Spirit and the Bible can help guide us. But equally, other Christians, house group leaders, we have a prayer team, or send a message into the admin for those that are online. It might be like, do you know what? I just need a bit of guidance, a bit of advice, and I don't know where to turn. This is a testimony. This one isn't mine, but I'm involved in it. And a lady came to me and she said, I'm having real problems with my marriage. I can't cope. I think I'm going to leave. My friends all agree I should expect better. And I listened to her. And we've been through problems in our marriage. Any married couple that says they've never had problems, it's like, really? Okay, that's great. But actually, there are always places that sometimes just cause a bit of a problem. So I listened to this lady and I said, okay, but what does God say? And I gave her God's viewpoint, what it says in the Bible, what God's heart was for her. She listened
We met with them every so often. And recently she said to me, I am so thankful, though she had godly advice, she said, I am so thankful that you made me think, and you made me actually think, is that godly advice? Is that the way that God goes? So when we talk about not standing or walking with the ungodly, we're actually saying, are we doing the right things? Are we affecting their lives in a positive way? Or are they dragging us away down the narrow path, very strange path to do things that we shouldn't? Sometimes we don't even realize it. But we sometimes need to check those healthy relationships or unhealthy relationships and friendships that we might have. So we need wisdom in who we're spending time with. We also need to know the Bible. What does the Bible actually say? Because often it gets misquoted. I had a friend and she was struggling with something to do with where she was living. And she said, oh, I can't sue my landlord because it says in the Bible not to sue your brother. So actually we pick this apart. Is her landlord her brother in Christ? No. It says not to sue your brother because if you're both Christians and doing things the godly way, you should be able to come to a good solution. So you shouldn't have to go to court. But it doesn't actually say you cannot go to court if you have a problem and it's not with your brother. So if we're going to use the Bible, we need to be sure that we understand it. So we need wisdom. And it goes on to say that it's actually a progressive spiral. Once we've started to listen to the wrong advice and go down the wrong path, it goes on to say, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand. So we started off walking. We were on a journey. Probably the wrong way, maybe. Now we're just standing around. Just a bit of a conversation here. Perhaps attitudes start to come in that aren't very helpful. And then before we know it, do you know what? Oh, a bit tired on my feet. I've been walking and standing. I think I'll sit down with you. And it goes on to say, do not sit in the company of mockers. Before I was a Christian, yeah, I would be one of those mockers. I repented because I know how good God is. But people will criticize the church. People will criticize Christians. People will criticize each other. The company of mockers. But it's not where the blessing is. It's not where God will give you a blessing. And it's a narrow path spiraling downwards, as I say. And you might think about it, oh, well, Jesus was in the company of sinners. Yes, he was. Doesn't tell us to keep away from sinners. It says, do not sit with them. Do not get your advice from them. Jesus was found in the company of sinners so often to encounter, to help them, to love them, to show compassion to them. I'm not saying don't be in the company of sinful people. I was one of them once. But it does say, don't sit down and talk and criticize and mock and be scornful. Okay? Yeah? Good. We're doing all right so far. So for the blessings, we need to have wisdom about the company we keep. And it says in Proverbs, by wisdom a house is built and understanding is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Do you know, that sounds like a pretty healthy lifestyle to me. Healthy living. And in James 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God who gives generously. So ask God for help if you're not sure. If you've got decisions to make and you think people might be giving you not such good advice, check it out. So I just want you to think a moment. Are your friendships healthy? Are your relationships healthy? Do we have a godly influence on others? Do they pull us away from God? or do they help us to grow? Just think about that a moment. I'm thinking about some of mine, actually. I'm thinking, yeah, I think on the whole. But actually, there might be a couple that perhaps don't necessarily have the better influence. Wisdom. Okay. And then it goes on to say, but blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Wow. Meditating. So having revelation from God's word, the Bible, is part of the blessing. And what I love about the Bible is you can read it, and you get something out of it. A little while later, you can read it again, and it's like, wow, I never saw that. It's a living word. It changes, but it increases, it multiplies. And when that's joined with your heart and your spirit, it's like, wow, that's the only book you ever need. Take it on holiday with you. If you're not into reading your Bible very often, Proverbs, amazing. Psalms, brilliant. The Gospels. Recently became a Christian, but before they did, they were reading the book of Revelation. And they told me this, and it was like, wow, that is a heavy book. But do you know what? There is such truth in there. Where we are going to go to, the goodness, the amazingness of God. It's like whatever you read, there is something in there. Amen? Good. Okay, then. Enjoy it. It's not a chore. It's not like God's going to look on you and say, if you haven't read your Bible this week, that's it. You're going to have homework and you're going to have detention. Yes, he's not like that. However, maybe I am. No. It's a joy. It is something that we are blessed with that we can do. And another word they sometimes use about this meditation is to abide. And abide is such a word that just makes me think of, that's resting. That is just being at peace. And it talks about abiding in God's word and abiding in him like a vine. And it's like, wow, we have that blessing. We have that privilege. And that's part of our healthy living. I did look up a few things about meditation. I think sometimes we use it, oh, can't do meditation. It's got wrong connotations. You do need to be careful what you're meditating on. If it's the Bible, I trust the Bible implicitly. Okay, so just be careful what you are meditating on. But according to studies, meditation is good for both physical and mental health. God knows how to bless us. It's like, wow. It gives the mind a breather. We all need those, don't we? A little time to replenish. It replenishes the soul. God's word, prayer, study, worship, reading the Bible. It helps us to focus on the enormity of God. One of those songs this morning, our God is so big, so strong and so mighty. We can focus on him. We don't need to focus on what's going on in our situations, our lives. We can focus on God and we get a different perspective. It changes our thinking. It brings us peace and rest as we abide in him. And it helps us know our true position. And actually, although we're not asked to stand in the company of those who give us poor advice, we are asked to stand with the armour of God. And that's what the Bible tells us. Okay, so in this is Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong. Strength's not from us. I can be very sort of wishy-washy at times. but it says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The truth that God loves me. that I'm restored into a relationship with him. He means the best for me. Belt of truth buckled round your waist, the best breastplate of righteousness. That guards my heart. That makes sure that my heart is protected, that my body is protected. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Is that our posture? Are we standing firm? There are sometimes I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, I can't do this. But I know that I need to get that shield of faith so that when those little attacks or even my own mind start saying, oh, you can't do this, useless, it's like, no, that has to go. Because I know my God. My strength isn't in myself. It's not my thinking. Tony would say, oh, you're a woman, you're all over the place. We see things holistically, I would say. But we have the Father. We are armed. We are standing with armor. Is that our posture? Because that's part of how we're going to have a healthy living, standing in the full armor of God. This is where I'd love to put on a little video about some of these, you know, female warriors. Doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. I can do it because God says so. But I haven't got time for that. But are you standing in the position of a warrior? With your sword of truth and your shield and your helmet? Or are you undergoing situations and problems and you're thinking, do you know what? Maybe it's just a good idea to get them on. That's from the book of Ephesians. And then it gets even better. It says about the people of God, those who delight in the law of the world, the law of the Lord, are like trees planted along the riverbank. Wow, I love rivers and streams. Bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. That sounds to me like a very healthy lifestyle. I'm going to take that one. Thank you very much. There is that provision. Do not. But if you do meditate on the word of God, that's one of our blessings. And God so wants us to flourish, to be strong, strengthened, to grow like a tree, with our roots going deep, to get nutrition from the soil, from his word, and strengthen us, to ensure that we are healthy, body, soul, and spirit. So God's intention is for us to be fruitful. So that includes the fruit of the Spirit, patience, I do sometimes fail there, peace, self-control, I do try, but God helps me, his Spirit helps me, love, joy, kindness. Sometimes in the world today that's missing, kindness, helping one another, goodness, goodness that's based in God, goodness that causes you to flourish. Goodness that brings the best for you, because that's God's heart for you. Faithfulness and gentleness. I feel pretty peaceful already. Just at the side of a stream, my roots going deep. And then that is actually echoed in Jeremiah. And I think it does it very well. And in Jeremiah 17, it begins with these words. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. I used to trust in myself. I used to trust in the world that it would provide what I needed, and what world couldn't, I would. Who draws strength from flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Yeah. And then Jeremiah makes his first analogy of a tree. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. It says they will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. And there's four reasons why that tree won't grow. It's in infertile soil. It's a wasteland. It might not be in fellowship with other Christians. It might think, I'm fine by myself. I'm just a little tree. But actually, a tree that's together with other trees has greater protection. It suffers from lack of water. There's no nutrition there. There's nothing to help it. It suffers temperature extremes because it's in a desert place. Its growth is stunted because it's in a salt land, so it cannot grow. It's just not the right conditions. And that just limits your growth. Growing is one of our values here at CLC. And if you're stuck in a wasteland and you're not getting your roots down deep, you're not going to flourish, you're not going to thrive. But then he makes a contrast with the tree. He said, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. So those of us who trust in God, whose confidence is in him and not the world, not ourselves, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Wow, what a difference. This tree is planted by the water for nourishment. That's from God's word, prayer, praise, community. It spreads its roots as part of the family. Doesn't fear when heat comes. Persecution, affliction, storms. Its leaves are always green because it knows where it's planted and nourished. It doesn't have any worries because it knows it's rooted well and the foundations are good. And it never fails to produce fruit. What a difference trusting and having confidence in the Lord can do. And I was thinking earlier, and I hadn't put this in my notes until just this morning, the river in Ezekiel, the river in Ezekiel 47, there is a river that comes out from the temple. There is a river that comes out from us when we are planted in the right place. When our roots go deep into a river, then it comes out through us, strong confidence in Jesus. But you know, in the river for Ezekiel, it says that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And it's not just for us. It's not just for us to have a healthy lifestyle or a healthy living. It's to bring a difference to the people and the world around us, even to the nations. JP and Paola, healing of the nations. That tree with its leaves that never wither can bring healing. You can go into situations and you can pray for people, not only to bring physical healing, but emotional healing. And it's not because of who we are, it's because of who God is. And that water that we get from his Holy Spirit that keeps us going, we share it, we ooze it, like a little oasis. Doesn't only sustain us, it sustains others. And that's God's heart. Amen? So sometimes we do experience intense pain, overwhelming sadness, anxiety. God never said it was going to be easy. He doesn't say, oh, I'm a Christian, life will be a dream. It wasn't for me. But we learned to trust God. We were planted by a river, and our leaves did not wither. That makes a bit of a rhyme, doesn't it? But it reminds us that our posture and our position is by that river, and it's strong. So when the storms come, it just blows us. It doesn't topple us. We don't crack. Just think of a palm tree, Palm Sunday. Just moves, bends with the wind, because we're rooted into God. And it goes on to then say, The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly. There does come a point where God expects us to make a decision. A, where are we standing on our belief in God? Do we actually believe him? He gives us a choice. The Greek term translated sinner is actually someone who's just missed the mark. I think there's a screen for that. So when someone used to say to me, oh, you're a sinner, or I used to hear those things at the church I went to years ago, you're a sinner. I'm like, oh, doesn't sound very pleasant. But yes, I was. Because I missed the mark of the best of God. I missed what God had wanted me to be. His son, his daughter, his children, his people. That's what he wants. So when we talk about sinners, it's just the fact that we missed the mark. And that's actually the whole point of our life. It brings us into an eternity with God. Wow. Not just what's here and now, but eternity with God. So God wants us to be restored into his favour. And the ultimate blessing is the new life and forgiveness that comes through faith in his Son. God has a heart for everyone. And in John 3, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I shall get emotional now. When our first son was born, I was a Christian by that point. And I looked across at him. God's heart is so for us, for the world. He let his son die on the cross. For me. For you. And I looked at my son and I thought to myself, Jason, if any of you know him, could I ever do that? But that is how much God loves us. God loves the world. That he would sacrifice his son Jesus. And I could sort of just think, oh, Jesus had to die for me. But do you know what? It's coming up to Easter next week. He rose again. And it's like, wow. And it dawned, well, can we have that at the back again? Yes. Woo, woo, woo. Thank you. Jesus rose again. So we don't actually have to keep living in judgment and thinking, oh my goodness, I'm still a sinner because Jesus died. Jesus rose again to bring us into that fulfillment of that life, that vitality. We don't need to stand in judgment and think, oh, he died because of me. Yes, he did. But because he was the Son of God, he had no sin. Death couldn't hold him. He went to the cross. They buried him, put him in a tomb. You'll hear all this again next weekend. And 3 days later, there's a song about this, and it's a kid's song. 3 days later, he's alive again. Wow! That means I don't have to live in condemnation. That means I am free to live the life that God wants me to. That's peaceful, that's flourishing, that's fulfilling, that's happy because of the work that Jesus did on the cross and because God loves me. Amen? I'm very quiet, but as it's Easter and we're coming up to it, it's like, yes. It's just like, oh, there is nothing that can hold me back, nothing that can grab me, take me back into the tomb because Jesus died. And it's like, God, I am so sorry that there was a point in my life I never knew that. There was a point in my life when I said, God's man-made. I don't need him. Actually, I jolly well do because it makes my life so much better. It's like having a different dimension. So I would say that before I was a Christian, I lived life in two dimension, body and soul. And if you think of a balloon, when I first became a Christian, and it just blows up and blows up, and there's a new dimension to life. That is the Holy Spirit. And that is what God gives us when we're by the river. He gives us his Holy Spirit to sustain us and strengthen us and give us that counsel. Wow, he's such a good God. Amen? I'm not sure you're sounding convinced, but hey, that's fine. I'm not here to convince you. I'm just here to share the word of God and God's heart. So I'm going to ask you, it does say in... just finishing up now. Deuteronomy 30 from 15. This is a question that God might be asking you today, if you're here or if you're online. If you... shouldn't have stapled these. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, healthy lifestyle, or death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and keep his demands, his decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will not enter the land that you are going to cross to possess. God's pretty clear, actually. He loves us. He gives us every opportunity. But there's no two-mindedness. We can't have feet in both camps. So I'm just going to ask maybe if you've never thought about making the decision before, or what you've thought about God or whatever, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and just think, God, do I want to choose you today? Do I want to choose life? Do I repent and accept that Jesus died on the cross to accept me in back into relationship with you? And if it's what you're thinking at the moment, then if you're feeling courageous, could you just put your hand up? You don't feel like putting your hand up, it's fine. It's just that sometimes it's like, yes. Amen. So then the next question is, which tree are you? Are you a tree that's blown away in the desert, where your roots are not going down deep, you're not part of a fellowship, or you don't have godly good relationships and friends that will help you? You're by a trickle of a stream, or you're in the desert? Or do your roots already go down deep, but maybe you just want them to be strengthened and thinking, oh, I want that river. I want to jump in it, let alone be by the side of it. It's not the heat of summer yet. Do you walk and sit in the company of mockers? Are you double-minded or like the tumbleweed? Or do you want to be stronger? Flourish, grow with all that God has to offer. Because that's his promise of his blessings to you. I'm going to ask you all to stand. If you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. There's no you must or you mustn't. There's no judgment like that here, honestly. It's just, if you can, that's great. If you are a Christian and you know you have God has forgiven you that you've repented, I just want you to put your hand over your heart and just say, Father, I just want to have so much of you. I want to be strengthened. I want to have my confidence and trust completely in you, so that my leaves are always green and never wither, that my life can bring strength and confidence to help others because of what you did on the cross. Thank you, Father. Amen. If you want any prayer, ask the person you came with. You can come to the front. The leaders can pray. House group leaders. God is a good God. Amen. Thank you.